I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would also like to comment about our student counselor this evening is tied up in homework. Are there any added agenda items at this point?
No.
Okay. Then we will go to public comment. I know somebody who was going to show up, but I don't see him. Okay. Any further? Anybody? No? Okay. Item six is a discussion. We're going to hold that off. Did I see ODOT come on?
ODOT, he's not here.
Yeah? Okay. And then we'll go to item number seven, which is discussion on amendment to zoning ordinance for indoor agriculture. And I think that should be, is that B7?
Yeah, it is. Actually, this says Planning Commission staff report again, so we don't have the correct materials again. Is that what yours says, Tammy?
And that's fine. Yeah, there's not an ordinance draft before.
Sure, this is just the work session.
Yes, okay,
well, then I'll let you outline that and make sure that they're aware of what the details are in the language. I don't know if they have the correct thing. So
can you get them right now?
Because this says staff recommendation to Planning Commission, so this is not what was... this doesn't look correct to me.
Oh, that is an outdated one. That's correct.
That's not correct.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll upset the stage. We'll maybe get that
I'm
cleared
confused.
Up. Well, I'll let Tammy share with you about that.
You are have to be confused.
I know.
Once a month.
Yeah.
So.
You should have the ones from yesterday.
They're
in
there. Then I'm looking
I didn't
at the wrong one.
You no, they have the right ones.
Do they? Okay, well, that's my mistake. I'm looking at the wrong one. I've got two
right.
Pictures of
right.
The right section.
You don't have any amount to council.
What?
Yeah. You don't have the correct one. The council does in their added agenda items packet.
Oh, in their added agenda items packet.
Not in their correct packet. That's in their original packet.
All right.
Cool. Well,
we will proceed.
Well, thank you. Sorry about that.
Only Corey had the wrong one.
I guess I'm the only one that had the wrong one. So, joke's on me. Anyways, so last night at the Planning Commission meeting, there was a special Planning Commission meeting that was just on some text amendments to the zoning ordinance, similar to what we just finished up, that public hearing. Text amendments to the zoning ordinance pertaining to indoor agriculture. Read marijuana also as something that is indoor and agriculture. So I'm going to skim over some of the points that I talked about last night before the Planning Commission, before we went into staff report and actually engaged in the material. I want to draw a couple distinctions that I think the folks who were marijuana proponents and interested in growing last night were thankful that we talked about these. So. But I will say that we're not going to dive into the entire staff report tonight because there will be a public hearing on these text amendments at the May 18th meeting. So this is an opportunity to give you a heads up, talk about some of these things, but a decision will not be made on this tonight, obviously. But we do want to talk through it and vet it and make sure that you're aware of this and answer questions so that on the May 18th meeting, we're all on the same page. So. With that said, let me talk about it. And the pictures that I want to show aren't in the presentation. So I'm on a roll today. Every single thing I've tried to do for the last hour and 5 minutes has not been right. with that said, in the text amendments that you see, there's the term hoop houses. And a hoop house is a temporary greenhouse that largely are covered by this viscoelastic plastic and deteriorate and break and end up blowing down the streets and cause issues. So In those text amendments, it says that hoop houses are not permitted. First off, they're not rigid, permanent structures that meet the wind and snow load. But specifically, they were included in there so that there was no ambiguity as to whether they were allowed or not. Hoop houses are not what we want, not what staff recommends or the Planning Commission made a decision on last night that they want to see in the industrial park. So that's one. I want to show some pictures of a hoop house, but imagine a broken hoop house. That was one picture. The second picture was to clarify, you'll see in there also, that trailers are not allowed. Again, if you envision a old fifth wheel or something that is temporary in nature, parked in the industrial park that someone's trying to use for indoor agriculture, that's not what we want to see. Now, there was some confusion as to whether modular structures, you see though, they come in on wheels, they're set down on a permanent foundation. You see them a lot at schools or whoever needs it, you know, that doesn't have the extra space. They come in on a trailer. But once they're removed from the trailer and placed on a permanent foundation, they then are a permanent structure. So I wanted to draw the distinction for the audience, for the council, we did this last night as well, for the Planning Commission, is that a modular structure, while on a trailer, is a trailer. But once it's taken off and placed on a permanent foundation, it becomes a permanent structure. So the intent is not to ban modular structures that are placed in a permanent fashion, just to ban other trailers or similar type pieces of equipment. So those were going to be the couple pictures that I wanted to show you, just to give you a sense as you work through this definition as to what you're picturing. And I'll pass it off to Tammy now and let you ask questions if you need some clarification on what I just outlined as we dive into the definitions.
Okay, so as Corey said, I won't go through the staff report. I know you're all very disappointed about that, and the legal details of that, but we'll save that for the hearing in May. What I do want to go through are the actual proposed amendments that the Planning Commission voted on last night, and they did unanimously vote to recommend this to council for a hearing. The file I'm looking at on the top says Exhibit A of April 26, 2016 Planning Commission staff report. And has some amended definitions there. Currently in the Lapine Zoning Code, there is a definition of agriculture. It is very broad. It includes from horticulture to floriculture, viticulture, aquaculture, animals, and those sorts of things. That is allowed right now in the code. It is a conditional use in the residential zone. So we wanted to call out some differences in agriculture versus indoor agriculture. So what we have proposed right now are an amendment to the existing agriculture definition and insertion of indoor agriculture. I want to make it very clear that these are two separate uses. They're not one use under one category, two separate uses with two separate distinctions. Because the agriculture definition is right now a conditional use within the residential zone, we have a proposal to insert in the last sentence some clarity to what agriculture does not include. And that would read, agriculture does not include the sale, cultivation, production, or processing of marijuana or marijuana products where such activities require registration, licensing, or other approval with or from the state. Again, that is just within the agriculture definition. And we'll address that again in indoor agriculture. That, again, is to maintain agriculture as it is currently allowed in the residential zone, but to make it very clear that manufacturing, growing, processing marijuana in the residential zone is not what is allowed. The definition that's proposed to be inserted for indoor agriculture would read, agriculture, as defined in this code, as well as the cultivation and production of marijuana plants and flowers. So that's to represent, you know, we could be talking about tomatoes, we could be talking about marijuana, but to call marijuana out specifically, so it's clear. Provided such use is contained within permanent rigid structures designed to withstand snow and wind loads and not broadcast indoor lighting. Such structures do not include canopies, hoop houses, sheds, shipping containers, trailers, and similar structures. No retail sales are permitted in association with indoor agriculture, and this use is only permitted in the zones where it is expressly authorized as a principal or conditional use. So again, that gets to Corey's point that the city would like to see rigid permanent structures that can withstand snow and wind loads within the industrial park. The industrial park is not visualized as a large-scale county-like agriculture zone. It is an industrial park, and structures are desired. Are there any questions on that? Those Amendment 1? I can go into Amendment 2. I guess it wraps it all together. Basically, the Amendment 2 is just inserting that use, that indoor agriculture use, into only the industrial zone and as a conditional use, which means when somebody comes to the city for a permit, they have to go through a conditional use process and prove that they meet all the criteria within the conditional use criteria in the zoning ordinance. And then the final proposed amendment is to provide additional clarity. The very last line on page 2 of 2, to insert that set the sentence, no retail functions are permitted with indoor agriculture. Again, to make it very clear that this is not retail use. Is there any questions that we can answer as staff to provide more clarity to the intent or the wording?
Now, it's on.
This is what happened.
You have to unplug it from the back.
We have a guy coming to look at it these next week. So, what he did you give the instructions earlier? Was to leave them on? We're experimenting with.
What we think we figured out. We had a successful run last night with the Planning Commission without any issues. So, library.
It's a rough night.
What we want to do is leave them on, and they should work. That's what happened last night. So I guess we're 1 for 2 in the last.
Yeah, last night worked fine.
I didn't tell you.
Jared, just talk.
I'll just talk. Okay. Talking about the industrial park, is there any difference or distinction between light industrial?
Don't heavy turn the buttons. Don't touch.
No, I'm not. I'm pulling it closer. Because his is on, so we can talk into it. Excuse me.
I think your question was, is there a difference between light industrial and standard industrial?
Because I believe our industrial park is divided.
So right now, the zoning code includes a light industrial and an industrial zoning designation. The zoning map, however, does not. There's industrial, period. My understanding from talking to folks that were involved in that original process was the intent was to provide some opportunity for this idea of this light industrial zone, possibly for the business park in the future, to leave that open as an option, and maybe Rick knows more about this than I do, but no assignments have been made on the map for the light industrial. Do you have any history on light industrial versus industrial?
There was evidently back when all of that was approved, when they did the thing, they talked about heavy industrial, or call it industrial and light industrial, but then in the code, there's no difference. We don't have a light industrial.
There is a light industrial zone, but if you look at the zoning maps, there's no land that's designated light industrial. So it's a, what is the intent of the code? What's that map actually show? Our decision at this point has been the map shows nothing zoned industrial, light industrial, so we are not assuming that any property is zoned light industrial.
Someday, we'll clean that, as that's what all these are. There's just a lot of cleaning up over the next several years. Is your first city with the first new comp plan since the 70s. It's just one of those things that everyone else has had decades to. They make changes annually. They've made 20, 30 years worth of changes, and we haven't. This is our first right here. So we're cleaning up. The other thing is industrial is changing. The difference between, the old days, you had heavy industrial, but no, now industrial is, for the most part, a lot of it's very clean. And so everyone struggles with, what's light, what's heavy, and you're kind of commingling all of this. So, Zahrawal Industrial Park is available. So, you know, the reality is that the business park, because they're half acre lots, you're not going to see as much of it because of just size limitations, you know, for what they want to do. If they're going to put in greenhouses or put in several buildings, they want more land than 20,000 square feet, because the law lets them put 40,000 square feet of, if they have greenhouses. So, you know, what we're trying to do with all of this is you know, we will make other changes down the road. You look at this whole marijuana thing, it is new, it's changing, evolving, it's a gold rush, it is the uncharted territory, you can use a million different terms. So this idea that you're going to come up with what's right once and that's done, not going to happen, probably no different than prohibition, and that's why you have some different laws across the country still today on alcohol and things. This is a work in progress. This is our stab at taking care of what we have now, and I think you'll see refinements, you know, over time as the industry matures and we kind of get a feel for what works. We just wanted to make sure in all of this that there aren't shipping containers. We don't want people taking a shipping container and starting to grow inside it. You know, we don't want hoop houses, and he had great pictures of hoop houses, and if you know what they look like, half of the plastic is usually on it blowing in the wind. Can you all picture those? Mm-hmm. When you drive out in the country?
Or in spring, it's collapsed.
It's collapsed, and then usually just the tubes are, mm-hmm. are left. You know, we all have visions of all of that. So I think what we've tried to do is capture, we want structures, and if you're going to have a greenhouse, they're rigid, and they have glass, plastic-type roofs, and most of the folks we've talked to in the industry are fine with that. And then the other thing was modulars, actually. You know, he was wanted a better definition, and I think we're working on that. We will get that.
We've got that.
Yeah, so, you know, we banned trailers. Well, then you get into a modular. How does a modular get to a property? On wheels. Does that make it a trailer? If I take off a tongue? You know, and the devil is in the detail of that. And so a modular, if it's put on a permanent foundation, and it's meant, in other words, it comes on on wheels, but that just is how it gets there. And then it's put on a permanent foundation. And then, of course, you can haul it away sometime. But modulars are used in industrial parks traditionally. You'll see them for offices. You'll see them in schools sometimes, and they'll be there for years.
So what about a double-wide manufactured? You bring it on wheels,
not a modular.
And put it on a permanent foundation?
Well, they have to be also stamped for the commercial. It's stamped. They actually are commercial buildings.
Okay.
They're not a trailer house that you would live in with bedrooms and bathrooms.
And they're still going to need to meet all the building inspection codes and building permits that are required, which they are very particular about it being a commercial structure. There's different rules that apply for electrical, plumbing, all that stuff, if it's a commercial structure.
He texted me pictures of the one that he's got, or we're going to get, and it has a commercial stamp on it. So, again, well, we have to work on that down the road. We're trying to guess ahead on this, at the same time, you know, not get too far out there. I think that we've done it. We got a decent start at it, and we'll go from there.
Stu, were you done?
Yes,
okay. Karen, any comment? Kathy?
No.
I just would like to say, and Stu has already spoke to this, I think this was a great training lesson, if you want to call it that, because what we saw at the last session was, you know, I mean, It looked pretty obvious, but now that we've worked through this, now we understand, you know, how it looks, how it'll come to us in the future, and we won't have the problem probably that we've had before. So, thank you.
I would encourage the council individually, if you have questions, to reach out to Tammy or myself. I know we both made that very apparent. And then just a quick recap that this will be back in front of the council on May 18th with a formal public hearing and a bit more of an in-depth staff report as to why these text amendments apply to the certain criteria that they need to be judged against for them to be applicable. So,
one more.
Sure.
Would it be proper to send out the picture of the trailer so we have an idea?
Yeah, we have it. Yeah, we have that.
Yeah, we'll give that presentation at the
we can do it ahead.
At the public hearing meeting. But yeah, we'll include that in there. If anyone else is curious, they can.
Well, actually, your clinic has a modular.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the same.
Yeah, imagine that one of those.
They're
taxed, they're real property, they're not personal property like a trailer. A mobile home is personal property. And it is kind of, cities get into this debate all the time as to, you know, what's a modular and what's a trailer.
Okay, and then discussion on legislative rezone comprehensive plan map.
Is there any chance we could go back and capture agenda item 6?
Are they here?
I see Gary Farnsworth in the back row there.
Okay. Hiding.
Oh.
Sure. Let us do that.
Is that, I mean, just to be...
Yeah.
When was St. Charles doing everything? Is there not on our agenda?
That's not for the presentation. That has not. That's new. I don't know.
That they're here. So I just want to put them in somewhere.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
That's a short tell. Public comment. I know, I'm just kidding.
Do you want me to come up?
Yes, Garrett, please.
This should be
a little. When you push the button down, a little red light comes on?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello. Good evening. Gary Farnsworth, ODOT, Area Manager for Region 4. And my apologies for being late. You're being very accommodating. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I had a little wardrobe malfunction when I got out to the car from my office. My shirt ripped wide open. And I figured I better take the time to make that adjustment instead of showing off more than I should at a council meeting. So, but glad to be with you. Very much so.
Thank you, Gary, for coming today.
Yes.
This is a little further than your normal travel on a quick evening, but you're always willing to do it, so again, we thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
We're looking at item six for the work session here, and that is the discussion with ODOT on multimodal transit opportunities in downtown Lapine. You want to say anything?
This is something we've been kind of working on for the last month or so, a couple months. In our transportation system plan and every plan that has come along, basically, one of the things we want to do is get a transit center in the downtown. This is kind of one out in Wiki that's isolated. It really serves a few people in town, but by and large, kind of that whole day road and the folks out that way. And we would like to get one in the heart of the city so people can come into the city and you park your car a little safer and all those things. And there's a lot of projects going on with transit, and ODOT has prioritized that kind of stuff. And with OSU coming and folks commuting for jobs more, it's real important. So that kind of got us going on where do we go, where could we put one, and it's got to be big enough for people to park, for buses to come and go, and you don't want buses backing up, and they can loop, and head on down the road, and all of those kinds of things. And so Gary and I, and Bob Bryant and some others got together down at their office in Bend and started brainstorming over some options and ideas that were within kind of the main heart of the downtown, kind of between Highway 97 and obviously Huntington Road, and somewhere between First and where the Huntington ends the highway, somewhere in that four block stretch. And so we found a spot that we liked, and kind of started brainstorming that. And this is kind of the early stages of what that will be, and it'll be a long process. There's no magic thing that's going to come drop a transit station or transit center there. But we want to kind of identify and see if we can't come up with some ways to purchase property, have it, and then work through various grant and granting or different grant funds, and incorporate that into our future for the long haul. And so I guess with that, Gary, I don't know if you want me to tell him where. Or all that good stuff, the way you're on.
Sure. Yeah, feel free to do that, and I'm happy to fill in
okay. On
the picture.
So there's a block or a half a block that sits on 4th Street that you've all seen for sale for many years with a nice big for sale sign. And the carnival was there this last year. And other than that, it sat there vacant for a long time. And the for sale signs come and go as brokers come and go. But that is the one piece of property that actually fits. It's with Highway 97 frontage and Huntington Road frontage. And 4th Street's kind of in the middle between 6th and 1st. And so it fits pretty good. And then the buses can come down the highway, turn right, which you like. You know, there's not left turns. You know, they can then come in, and if you build this right, they'll be able to swoop along. You widen the street. You know, they can come along. Think of it like a curb, and then it's on the right side. People get on. The middle of it can be parking. We could do some shops on the two edges, maybe. You have a coffee shop, like in downtown Redmond, where they have their fountain now, but, you know, they've got some things like that. And like I say, this will all get developed, so we could have some public parking, transit parking, parking for bikes where someone want to take their bikes with them on these buses, and you know, just kind of all of the above, something that would develop over time. And so it would give us kind of something in our city that would look good and become a hub. You also have the Amtrak, you know, we talked about, you know, the bus that they get on, they're going to McDonald's.
Right.
And something like that. And build a real kind of a neat place with lots of lighting, and we talked about Wi-Fi, so people that are sitting there waiting for the bus, or even tourists that want to come in and they're coming from the lake, they're out at Wickia, they can sit there, do some emails, and head back out to their fishing hole. It's kind of all of that. None of this is defined, refined, or anything. So it's a concept at this point. And we're going to be doing the First Street project, the Highway 97 West Side project anyway, and so we're going to be redoing the sidewalks. So
I think it might be worth adding as well that COIC would be an important player in this mix.
Absolutely.
Maybe you can elaborate on that a
yes.
little bit, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly concept, we've been doing a lot of brainstorming and looking at ideas, but there's an opportunity here. And in order for us to move on that opportunity, we ODOT need to have some clarity of expectations from the community, particularly from council, and also from the Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council, because for multiple reasons, but particularly because they serve as Cascades East Transit, and we want I'll say them, but really you all, because City of Lapine is a member of COIC, and in fact is a part of Cascades East Transit. So we're looking for the kind of support and reassurance about moving on a siting like this, so that we ODOT can justify a transportation dollar expenditure on purchasing the property. And the idea we have is, if there's support for that location from the city, from COIC, and other folks who are engaged, like maybe you've heard of Central Oregon Commute Options, Jeff Monson is there. We've engaged Jeff around the conversation as well, not to mention our own ODOT transit folks. If we get that sort of support and clarity, this is something we want to pursue, that allows ODOT to move forward and make that purchase, so it gets into public ownership, and then from there, with public ownership, we can start moving forward. The other connection here is we'll be running Streetscape right in front of that, right along that property, and there's opportunity there almost immediately. Also, COIC, which you are a member, has a proposal in for additional enhanced funds from ODOT to site transit stop. This is a region-wide project where we're identifying for the shuttle system, CET's shuttle system, to site transit stops. And there is a proposal to expend funds. And at least from my perspective, the concept would be if it looks like that project's actually going to get funded, we would be more specific about siting where the transit stop would be. And the concept would be to have that transit stop on 4th Street as an early step. So that would be, you know, you'd have the bench, you'd have the, you know, the kiosk and the features that would come with that as a starting point. And we, in turn, ODOT would latch that property acquisition, if there's interest in moving that forward, onto our streetscape project. So it'll actually be, it would be part of, we're going to be purchasing other right-of-ways as a part of that project, construction easements and so forth. There's a great opportunity for us to attach the purchase to that STIP project and make it part and parcel. So when we're doing things like streetscape and building bicycle pedestrian facilities, it's a very nice marriage into tying to a transit center. So we collectively have talked about getting CIC support as soon as we can, just from the standpoint of getting that property into public ownership.
Bend has a kind of a transit center, and they have a nice
Hawthorne station.
Yeah, and then Redmond is going to be putting one in, and then what you'll have is probably the four outlying cities: Mattress, Pringle, the Pine, and Sisters. You know, you're going to need one, and I think that as Bend has more of a fixed route system, it gets people up to the COCC and or Oregon State, and the hospital and all those different places. You know, we just talked yesterday about housing, and you know, people may have to start. People have to live, will live in Lapine and can work in Bend and vice versa because of just so many things with the housing market and pricing, and you know, the transportation issues in the winter and everything are tough. So it really adds some options. And then the Dial-A-Ride can bring people into that location and then they can go on. So there's a lot of reasons for this. So this opportunity kind of came along. We're,